Phoebe, you need to wait for us because we're recording the intro to the San Carlos Computer Club. I am Scott Stimson, the host.
She just started running faster.
Look at her go. Look at her go. She's like, I'm out of here. I'm not doing it with you guys.
Hello, San Carlos Computer Club.
Hey, this is Scott Stimson and Emily Stimson coming at you late at night on the night of our T.O. Benny's birthday.
Yo, I have a music recommendation.
Oh, okay. Well, let's go with that. What's your recommendation?
Lovejoy. Anything from Lovejoy. Lovejoy, specifically the EPs Are You All Right and Pebble Brain. Both of those are amazing. It's like indie rock. It's so good. Okay. I highly, highly suggest Lovejoy.
Highly, okay, so...
It's a band. If I'm the first one to ever suggest music, I might as well just suggest also Destroy Boys.
Destroy Boys? Yeah. I don't even know if I've heard that before.
Destroy Boys is, I want to say rock band, I'm not sure. It's again, it's like soft punk or something, I don't know. it's good too.
What's in a label, really?
Yeah, what's a label?
It's just music, you should listen to it.
Mm-hmm, it's good music. Destroy Boys, Lovejoy.
Well, before we branch too far away from the main topic, this is the intro for October 19th, 2021.
Today was Tio Benny's birthday, which officially begins the mark of just celebrations that continuously happen throughout the last week of Halloween and into Dia de los Muertos.
No, all the way into November with your birthday.
Oh, yeah.
Into December with your sister's birthday, into Christmas. We are coming around the horn of holidays for the Stimson and Marquez clan.
So just a whole bunch of holidays and festivals and birthdays to celebrate.
Not to mention the celebrations that get thrown in between the celebrations. Like we're going to the costume party at Calibri on the 29th because that's how your mom wants to spend her birthday celebration.
At a costume party?
Yeah, costume party.
You know what? Good for her.
We're coming up on Bibi. Hello, Miss Viviana. Jane Stimson Marquez.
Found a cool bug.
It's really long antenna.
Chapolin?
No, it's a cricket. Look at him. He has such long antennas.
A cricket with really long antennas. Bibi, we missed you for the intro, but I think we're done. This is it. Until next Tuesday.
There is a cricket with long antennas.
Until next Tuesday at 10.
Recommendation, cricket.
Crickets. Tech on.
Tech on.
Bibi.
Cricket.
Cricket. Oh, wait. I didn't hit the record button.
What?
Up.
Good morning.
Good morning, Judy.
San Carlos is beautiful. When are you coming, Paul?
Well, possibly the first week of November, along with Canadians.
Yeah, watch out for that. But it's beautiful. It was 67 this morning. It's gorgeous.
I'm loving it. I'm wearing pants.
Well, it's not that cold. Believe me, it is not that cold. Well, it depends on what kind of pants you're wearing. Long pants, yes.
Yeah, they're long pants.
It's shorts.
I don't wear short
Colorado
pants.
So I'm still unpacking, though.
Oh. Hey, there's Cheryl. You sound like you're in a casino.
I got here Saturday, so...
I'm drinking champagne at a buffet in Las Vegas.
Oh, my goodness. They let you out of Canada.
Mimosa time.
They let us out of Canada, but it cost us $3,000 to do it.
Yeah, well, I was just talking to Les Tower, and it was pricey for him, too.
Yeah, and we were.
Well, and did I read the news right? Did they do exactly what Bill said they were going to do? Like in just moments, they're about to open the border for everyone that's vaccinated.
Yeah,
the eighth of November.
It was 3 weeks and 3 days. So Bill's brother is teasing us that we paid $1,000 a week to get here. That's okay, but. The really fun thing was that the United States Customs officer wouldn't allow us to land when we wanted to because it was past his working hours. So we had to stay another night in Calgary while our car was in Montana.
Hey, how does that work? You had to stay... You had to wait for another flight? What? Yeah. I don't understand, Cheryl.
Well, it's a small airline, and what they did was they took the first load of people down to Montana, the pilot and the co-pilot were bringing the plane back to pick us up for the second load.
Yes.
And when he landed in Calgary, the Canadian customs guy, he has to phone before he get out of the plane. They left him on hold for 2 hours. So they're so busy with everybody doing this that they wouldn't allow him to let us get on the plane because the U.S. Customs had closed before we were going to get there.
Excuse me. I just wanted to say that I have a better background today than Paul does. That's all I joined to say.
Well, it should be. It sure cost you enough.
Oh, you'll probably make it up gambling, though.
That's right.
I'm out.
And free buffets. Yes. You need to eat $3,000 worth of food. How long are you there for?
5 weeks.
Oh, there you go. 5 weeks. With just buffets. Go to the buffets with your big pocket pants.
Okay, right. I'm going to go, guys, because we're in public. So we will talk to you guys later. Have a good meeting.
Quick, make sure we'll do something goofy in public.
No, right. Okay, nice seeing you guys, and we'll see you all soon.
We'll see you next week, Cheryl. Thanks for showing up.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Linda's in. Mom is in. Hello, folks.
Hi, everybody.
Hiya.
Welcome, welcome. We're still not quite officially started.
Hey, Judy, turn on your microphone.
I was going to say the border was a breeze. They stopped me coming in, but the guy says, open the back. So I did. And I mean, it's jam-packed. I couldn't have fit this much in there. And he goes, whoa. And I said, clothes and food. And he said, wow. Bye.
You know, the thing to do is to have a box of donuts in the back of your car when you
open. I don't believe in that. I do not believe in that. I'll pay.
That's not more need of donuts.
It is too. I don't believe in it.
Well, have you ever heard my folks' story about getting across the border with a 24 case of soda?
No.
They're driving this van. I don't know if Mom remembers this story. She might want to pipe in if she does. But the way they told it, they were going across the border and they're driving this camper van and they had stacked all this stuff up just like Judy's describing, and up against the back doors they had put some, I just hadn't even thought about it, put a 24 case of diet soda up against it. Well, they got the red light and they pulled in, and before anybody is getting any permission from them, one of the officers went around the car and opened the back door. Well, the back door opened and it was like a clown car. Every soda fell out of this, hit the ground. It's rolling all around their car. These officers are scrambling around, picking up cans of soda, cradling them like a baby, trying to get them all back in the car, shut the door, and just told them to go as quickly as they could.
And no matter what anybody says, the border does open at 6 a.m. now, not 8, like the border wait time thing says. It opens at 6.
Oh. That's you're talking about the truck route, because downtown's open all the time, right?
Yeah, I'm not big on downtown, so.
I don't like downtown either.
Yeah, my last trip going southbound from U.S. to Mexico, the Americans stopped me and opened up the car and went totally searching it.
When was that?
About a week ago. It took, the backup was past the stoplight. It took more than a half hour to clear that little bumpy one-lane thing, and they were inspecting cars totally.
Wow. And what were they going to look for?
Who knows?
Guns. Seems like guns are what they look for. They've been fortifying that crossing for a while on the U.S. side. This is the first story I've heard of them actually stopping us.
Me too.
I think
Where's David?
Say again, Mom.
Mm-hmm.
What was that?
Or
Dave, you went through Mariposa?
Yeah, Mariposa southbound.
Oh boy!
You know, and you know that new stoplight. It was. Uh-huh. I bet it took me more than 5 or 10 minutes to get to that stoplight to get to the line that formed all the way to the border.
Unbelievable!
It was probably half hour, 45 minutes to get through that U.S. check.
The new traffic circle is interesting.
And the traffic was extremely low that day. You know, when I drove past 21, nothing there.
There were about
30. What traffic
30.
Circle? Judy,
There's
what traffic,
traffic circle?
Circle
there off of
Where?
Going to Mariposa.
Yeah, they have some roundabouts there now, don't they?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Where they're building the freeway.
Farther towards the border.
Yeah, figure now you're going to, if you want to fill up at that Circle K, you're going to have to get off and go underneath.
Oh, it's crazy. If you want to go to IHOP, you're eating pancakes under an overpass.
I stay at that Holiday Inn Express, so I don't have to get off or do anything. But
yeah, it looks like the new exit coming off, there's actually a Y on that new exit to go to the normal old Mariposa Road underneath, and the right lane continues, you know, flying directly onto Mariposa exit road.
I had dinner at Ragazzi. I actually got it to go, but and that was really good. And Nogales. So
what day did you get there?
Nogales. I got to Nogales on Friday, and then I got here on Saturday.
Oh, Saturday. Okay. You could have stayed here.
I stayed at the Holiday Inn, so I got a straight shot out.
Oh, well, that's good. I have somebody coming tonight.
Do you?
Yeah. Uh-huh. So
did you have your eye surgery?
Mm-mm. They canceled it. So it's going to be not this week, but next week on Thursday.
I'm still waiting to see what Johnson & Johnson booster is coming up. I can't find anything in Arizona to come up and get it, but I'll come up and get it when they offer it. So.
Oh, because you had Johnson & Johnson?
I did.
Oh, okay.
In Nogales. Well, I got it in Nogales.
They're not even offering Moderna yet.
I know.
So I'm just waiting.
I saw that Johnson & Johnson, they're recommending two months later,
yeah,
which
well,
means it's a little late for it. But
yeah, since I got mine in March, you know.
Yeah, but they're saying 6 months for the other ones, the Moderna and the...
Right.
And the Pfizer.
Phyllis and Diana from here, they got their Pfizer in Guaymas, and they both just got their boosters, one in Arizona and one in Washington State. So,
the FDA this morning, the FDA said is suggesting you go ahead and mix it up.
Oh, really?
I'll
the FDA has come out with that?
That's what I heard this morning. Especially Johnson & Johnson.
Get one of each.
Yeah.
One was enough for me. I will get a booster if I need one, but one was really enough.
Has anyone heard of Moderna people having breakthroughs?
My sister just got, my brother-in-law is an invalid. So her doctor just gave her a full booster, a full Moderna booster, not a half, a full.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I know of one family that were all Moderna. There's like four or five of them, and they all came down with breakthrough COVID. That's the first I've heard of.
How about Colin Powell?
Was it Moderna? Did he have Moderna?
I don't know what he had, but he also had cancer. So that's part of his.
Yeah, he had other issues that the breakthrough broke down, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, he had something else besides the cancer.
Uh-huh. Really?
Yeah.
Parkinson's.
Really?
And he had an immune deficiency, so the shot probably wasn't going to work.
My brother-in-law has Parkinson's really bad. He did get the Moderna back in February or March, but I don't think that he's going to get the booster because the first one was really bad for him.
Well, someone told us they were giving the booster over here at Safeway. I'm going to find out.
Well, let me know.
Yeah.
Hey, I just want to break in and say that I am going to open this stream in just a minute, and we are going to officially start this meeting. Okay. We're on the countdown. We're going to start in about 40 seconds. Did anybody bring any topics? Has everybody got access to the document? There isn't a lot in it. I'm going to put a link to the document.
I have access. I have not had time. I had Chuck the plumber here, and I also had Sven the pump guy here. So I've had a couple of days.
Well, here, let me share the document with you. I've put some of my own topics in it. And if you think of anything, we've got just a few more seconds before I'm going to start this. You can add stuff to it as we're going on. I will not have had a chance to read it, though. So you're going to have to be the one that enlightens us. And here we go. Hello, this is Scott Stimson from International Computer Solutions, and we are the San Carlos Computer Club. We meet every Tuesday at 10 o'clock to discuss tech topics and to help each other out with technical support and tech news. And so welcome everybody. It's good to have you here. We have been giving COVID vaccine updates to each other, sharing news that's out there on the internet. And in classic Computer Club style, we have no agenda, and we are very random. And I am happy to listen to any questions or topics that anyone has. Shout them out now. Does anyone have anything specific that's got to get into this meeting? We don't have any follow-up from last week.
One that I just read about, and that's that Windows 11 seriously crippled the file history application trying to force you to use their OneDrive and thus pay money.
Oh, that's interesting.
Basically, you used to be able to configure what you wanted to have backed up automatically by the application, and now they limit it to only a few certain things of their definition.
So file history did this by default, but in Windows 10, but then allowed you to modify it with any folders you want. Are you saying that function
took that
is gone?
Away.
Well, that's
you can add
poor
folders to it.
You cannot add folders to it any longer.
Right.
Well, that's good to know. I hadn't even heard that. In case anyone's interested, Windows 11 was released this month. Anyone that's running it's for free. If anyone that's already running Windows 10 has free rights to 11, but you might question why you're doing it. They have put a much higher hardware requirement on it, most of it centering around security, and they've backed away from it as well. I think a lot of people speculated on it. For me, I think it's pretty straightforward. They want to encourage developers to develop systems that are at a higher level of security, and they want to encourage people to buy more secure computers. And I think that's exactly what they've done, is they've pushed out Windows 11 and said, hey, you should only run it on these computers. And then when pressured on it, they're like, no, you're going to be able to run it on the older computers, but you're just not going to be certified unless you've got the newer computers. And in this case, what I'm describing, old or newer, really refers to just the security features that you find in a newer CPU chipset. So I don't think any of us I'm sure not moving to Windows 11 anytime soon. Windows 10 is supposed to be supported for the next 5 years, if I understand correctly. And so we're in no hurry to move to 11. And I think what we'll find by the end of the Windows 10 support is that any of your computers that are still running Windows 10 effectively, you will probably be able to run Windows 11 with the caveat of them not being a more secure computer. Dave, what do you think? What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, the way I understand it, the chip that you're talking about basically runs the crypto encapsulation. And so a third-party code cannot get to it because it's a chip. So your computer is going to run faster and more secure because the security is basically running on that chip. But I think pretty sure that all that stuff is currently happening, and all they're doing is trying to force more development to be done to be able to use that chip.
So to give you an example,
I think it already uses that chip that's been available for like, I think it's 5 to 8 years.
Yeah, I think it's been available for at least 5 years. I don't know if it's been as long as 8, but it's that TPM module is one piece of their security.
And there's an easy, and all, I think it's TPM dot, you know, how you check MSU.
Dot 2. Yeah, 2.0.
You know, and there's higher. There's an easy way to check if you have it or not.
But Like, for example, my computer is 4 years old, and it supports TPM 1.2, and my vendor is ASUS, and they've made no effort to try and update that firmware, whether it's upgradable or not. It's not available. And so if I were to put Windows 11 on my computer, I immediately don't qualify for their idea of a secure computer because I don't have that chip in my computer. It doesn't mean Windows would run any differently. It just means that I'm using a computer that can't be thought of as more secure. That was a problem I had before Windows 11. By putting it into the hardware requirements in the beginning, what they're doing is they're saying you are going to have a more secure computer with Windows 11 because it's in the hardware requirements. If you don't have the hardware requirements, it can't be more secure. Hey, Chester just joined us. Good morning, Chester.
Well, yes,
we were just talking a little bit about Windows 11.
Yeah, what I read is that everyone says wait to be sure that they've gotten all the bugs out of it, and there's just no hurry.
It's a weird place we're at right now because theoretically it should be released with the least amount of bugs of any other Windows product that's come before it. And it's because of their development process. Windows 11 has been around for a long time. It's been reviewed and tested. And then at the same time, that's not going to be the case. Regardless of whether they've had all this extra time to do this, the way they've been developing so quickly, this agile kind of development, it just creates an environment where you're putting things out to be tested. So it seems like there's a lot less beating on it to see if it'll break happening inside the organization. A lot more of that is happening outside the organization. So in a day and age where you would think, because it's been around so long, it's been tested so much, that it would be released with less bugs because of their approach to finding bugs, I can't help but think it will be just as buggy as any other release. And Chester, I agree with you. I think that there's bugs, there's security issues. Well, and if you have an AMD chipset right now, apparently you'll lose up to 3% performance. I think that was what the number I read. Correct me if I'm wrong, but if they saw a notable difference in your performance in your PCU and your CPU and your battery life, if you're running an AMD chipset, well, if that's the case, that's a great reason not to run Windows 11. Again, Windows 10 will be around for, I think, the next 5 years.
What's the old saying? If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, and I got to say, I'm really happy with Windows 10. It's still based on every, second Tuesday of the secure Tuesday of the month. It seems like every time I get an update, I need to reevaluate whether I'm still happy with Windows 10. But I've been very happy with it. I think a lot of you have been really happy with it.
Well, to me, the game changer is file history. If they've, taken that functionality out that you can't define your own folders, that's something I use all the time, in my case. Yeah. So it's a showstopper.
I teach it to my customers. I set it up for them. And, the flip side of this complaint, which I think, Dave, is a genuine complaint. The reason you run Windows is because you have a way you want to do things. And so they should offer you the option to use OneDrive, not take away your ability to do your own thing. And that's what they do in Windows 10. And truthfully, when you do it in Windows 10 with OneDrive and a subscription with Microsoft, it's beautiful. All that versioning happens in the cloud. You make a new version of your file, you keep the new file, a new file on your computer, and the old file is version whatnot in the cloud in OneDrive, and you can go back through several versions, and you're not responsible for them. You don't have any backup media in your office environment. It's all up in the cloud. It's a cool way to do things, but I feel like you, Dave. I do my own file history on my own drive here in my own office. I don't have subscription services for that.
The other thing is dealing with testing you were talking about a little bit. Basically, IBM always tested in three different means. You tested the module that you changed to make sure that worked. Then you did what was called a kind of a logic group test. So like if you were working with the sign on or sign off and So you test that whole group of modules. And then the third test they always did was a system test. And that was only done like about every 3 months, where you would test every single change in all the possible interactions. And it's very obvious that Microsoft never does system tests, or they'd be finding a lot more bugs at the, you know, than they do.
Well, they did. They used to do system tests.
I don't think they do these days at all. You know, you see too many things coming through that are just very basic.
Yeah, no, I have to agree with that as well, because they used to be really, especially during that time period where everything was a security update.
And my son lots of works system in the computer field still, you know, actively. Says there's even a name for it, and basically, I forget what it is, but basically if it's Friday, we ship the code whether it works or not.
You've mentioned that before.
Yeah.
Hey, we started down this road of thought, and I think Judy had something she wanted to add before this. Judy, did you have a topic you wanted to bring up? Did I lose you?
He's not there, but I have something. I have
go ahead, Linda.
I have a Windows 7 laptop. I have like three things came up on why I couldn't upgrade, and I think I'm just going to leave it and not bother to upgrade that laptop because it's pretty old and it was a Windows 7.
Yeah, the Windows 10 is a smaller system requirement than Windows 7.
So
if you wanted to go to Windows 10,
Windows 11 gave me these three things that they wanted me to do.
Well, I don't think you even want to think about Windows 11 is the first operating system from Microsoft since Windows Vista that requires more computer. Ever since the Vista fiasco, every release of Windows has purposely required less computer. And that's the case with Windows 10 as well. It actually requires less computer than Windows 7.
Okay, so what about Windows 11 and these three things they want me to do?
I think that you're
don't bother.
I wouldn't bother if you want security and compatibility with the most current stuff. I think you want to upgrade to Windows 10 and you want to ignore Windows 11 for the next 5 years or until your computer dies and you buy a new one and it's going to come with Windows 11.
Yeah, that's what I figured. My other laptop has Windows 11, so I think I'm just going to leave 10 on the old one.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
There isn't a good reason. I loved 7. I loved Windows 2000. I ran Windows 2000 till 2010, I think. But these operating systems, they become very hard to maintain, and all they do in the end is create more problems for you. You can't get software to run in them. You can't get the security updates. And at the very worst, what has happened is you have a computer in your home network that can be compromised easily and used as a launching point to compromise other parts of your house, other devices in your home. Well, do we have any other topics out there that we need to get out? My big topic is, did anybody watch the Apple event? It happened just yesterday. Anybody see the new line of Apple products? Did you see that the new M1 chips have come out? I'm very impressed. And of course, we should have known this was what Apple was going to do. But they have approached they've approached their CPU chipset line for marketing this same way they market their iPhones. And I imagine what will be happening to their computer lines in the future. But the chip itself, we've got three tiers of CPU in Macintosh. We've got the original M1 that came out last year, the one that I've been just gushing about and fanboying about. And then yesterday they announced the M1 Pro and the M1 Max. And I saw that lineup and thought, how smart of them to have they have defeated Intel in one swoop with marketing, because now we all know what processor we might be paying for when we go buy a computer. Up until now, it's been a hidden secret. Intel has hundreds of processors out there. Any given laptop would have a different processor. The closest Intel has come to this kind of marketing is by calling their chips i3s, i4s, I-5s, I-7s, and I-9s. But anybody that becomes familiar with their line of CPUs knows that there's dozens of different versions of each one of those categories. And they don't mean the same thing through different generations. An I-5 from a few years ago might be... An I-7 from a few years ago might be comparable to an I-5 that's most recently been put out. So they haven't been consistent. And so it makes it very difficult to market on anything more than their name brand, Intel Inside. Well, Apple takes the same approach to their phones as they do their CPUs to make it very straightforward to all of us. M1, M1 Pro, and M1 Max. The Pro, the M1 has 16 gigabytes. The M1 Pro has 32 gigabytes. And the M1 Max has 64 gigabytes of RAM. What else can I say about it?
That they just waited until I bought mine and that came out with it.
So did you buy the M1?
No, I bought the whatever I bought in September. I bought my iPad, so the Pro.
Okay, so what we're talking about here are the MacBook Pros, which everybody has been waiting for. Like when they announced the M1 last year, what they did is they put it in all their low-end computers. But the CPU is so powerful that it outperforms their high-end computers. So that's what I was so excited about, is these what would be considered discount-priced Apple equipment is actually outperforming their high-end cost equipment. And they've been gradually moving this technology up through their lines. And yesterday is when they finally announced the MacBook Pro, which I know if you follow any of these tech journalists, professionals have been waiting for everything on the list. Everything that they announced about this MacBook Pro is what my mom wants in her new Macintosh. It's got an HDMI out. They had removed that in the last runs. They've got three Thunderbolt ports. They've got the audio jack port. They've got the MagSafe adapter put back on. So if you trip over the cord, it just disconnects. They brought all these features back that professionals were complaining about. The touch bar is gone. It's back to being a physical keyboard with function keys and glyphs for things like volume control and display control. And it was just amazing to watch them go. And I'll put a link in today's meeting. In fact, I've got for the YouTube video. And they did a great, concise job of doing everything in less than an hour. And it was amazing to watch them talk about the MacBook Pro, because it was just step by step the list of things professionals have been asking for. And then they've got two different screen sizes, the 16-inch and the 14-inch. There's a very impressive size, capable computers. Still no touchscreen. They increased the webcam on it, so it now has a 1080p webcam, which is considered the high end of webcams in the lip of laptops. Most reasonably priced laptops have a 720p camera because they add quite a bit of expense to the device, and the higher ends have 1080s. Well, this is the first time they've put a 1080p camera in their laptop lines.
Scott, do you know if the 24-inch all-in-one Apple computer has all of that?
I don't have that in front of me, but just a few months back, at the beginning of this month, they announced those computers. And did they have a 24-inch in those? I was thinking they maxed out at 21-inch. I don't remember, Chester. I don't want to say the wrong thing. We should look it up.
Except it's getting quite old.
What they have not done is they have not introduced an iMac Professional Edition. So what they announced in the last announcements were the equivalent of what you had, but they were targeting schools and kids and family computers. And so I'm thinking that they may have cut corners on things like the video. I just can't remember. remember. I'd have to look at the stats of it. It was still this very impressive M1 chip, but it had very thin screens the size of tablets. But I'm thinking there was some stuff like that where they didn't go out of their way to upgrade. And on this MacBook Pro, this was like a recipe from any Macintosh professional that has complained about their laptops.
So I have just a comment. You know, I bought the 12 Pro Max iPhone, and it's got the magnetic charger capability.
Yes, of course.
And I'm not crazy about it. I suppose if I didn't have a good case on, I have a spec case, and if I didn't have a good case, if I had one of those little teeny thin, like a no case, it would work great. But it doesn't work that well. It doesn't charge that fast, and I find that it's much easier just to plug it in the old-fashioned way. However, those little plugs that I bought, the universal magnetic plugs, do not work on my phone, nor does the cable that came with my new iPad.
Is that because it's a different standard?
Yes.
Yeah, because your iPad has the C, the USB-C.
The new one. And the phone, which is a 12, does not.
It still has the lightning, lightning cable.
Yes.
Yeah.
However, it's got the magnetic charger, but all these things I think should work together, but they obviously don't.
Yeah, and you know, what could be happening is, and I'm not aware, I'm just speculating, mm-hmm. but Apple has many times in the past put out a specification
mm-hmm.
that you need the license for and get a chip to use. And it's very possible that those magnetic adapters don't meet the latest specification.
That's what they kind of told me when I wrote directly to the company. They said, no, it will not work with the new protocol. So, I think for Apple, they should be making an adapter that all their devices charge off the same charger. I think
they're trying that though, Judy. That's you're just in the transition of that kind of technology where it's just not perfect.
My MacBook has the kind that's the magnetic power.
Right, the MagSafe.
I love it.
Well,
and that's what
It does not exist on the MacBook Air. It doesn't exist on the MacBook right now. They are all USB-C connectors with Thunderbolt support.
Right.
This MacBook Pro, this latest one, has the Mag Charger 3. They've created a new. Yeah. Yeah. No. It's like they listen to people.
Right.
It's like they asked for comments on what would make a great professional computer, and all the professionals said, this list of things we've been asking for years.
But to make all their devices mesh together with a charger, rather than me having to have now three different chargers for my three Apple products, is pretty annoying.
Well, probably a better way to think about it would be two, but you're in the transition in one of them. The other one, I think these MagSafe connectors, they have proven themselves and they are to stay.
But the charger does not work with a spec case. It does, but you have to
I'm sorry, I'm referring to the MacBook power cord.
Right.
Like what you've got on your older computer. I think that your use and appreciation of that and the professionals' appreciation of that, that is a standard. I don't think they're ever going to take that away again. They would have to come up with an incredibly better idea. And what they came up with last was not a better idea. It powered through the USB-C.
If you're talking to Apple people, if you know somebody that you might say that they could put out an adapter, and I'd be happy to buy an adapter that turned my power supply into that same MagSafe that I have on my
on your phone
on my MacBook. Yes,
on your MacBook. That's
yes.
Right. Yeah. And
that
they
would
don't
be
care
a
they want
big
they would
sale.
Say go buy the new MacBook Pro, it's only $16.99.
I just bought a MacBook Pro. Well, no,
it was a Pro.
I bought a new iPad, and I'm not ready to buy a third new device right now.
Well, and you're living in a timeline where where you may not need that third device. You may not be taking advantage of those kinds of aspects that warrants having a computer, having a full-fledged computer. You may get along just fine with your iPad and your...
No.
So you are in the market for a new computer at some point, a new laptop.
Yet, but I do all my banking on my MacBook. It's the banking things that I use don't work very well on my iPad.
So what you're describing is a use case for the most basic of Macintosh computers, and even the most basic of a Windows computer, which would be the most basic would be half the price of the most basic Macintosh computer. So you'd only pay twice that price because you're familiar and comfortable and in the ecosystem.
And I also do my photo editing because it's not as easy for me to do on my iPad.
That's probably just a learning curve because so many creators are using.
It's whether or not I have to wear the 150 cheaters or the 175.
Okay. Well, I sympathize. Mm-hmm. As we've been doing these virtual meetings, you can see I wear my reading glasses all the time. It's the only way I can see these screens.
Mm-hmm. You old lady.
I know I am now, Linda.
Yeah.
Well, I think the other standard, you have the MagSafe standard, and then you have, well, it's confusing to hear me say this because they've named it the same. For your iPad and your iPhone, they call it MagSafe. And for your laptops, they call it MagSafe. And they're completely different technologies.
That's but my I think, iPad, wherever right, it is. That's my iPad.
Yep.
And then this does not fit into my phone because my phone has that other one with the Thunderbolt kind of thing.
Yeah, the lightning cable.
Lightning bolt, yes.
Maybe they'll come out with an adapter.
That's what I was asking Scott to suggest.
Okay, but what about the other end? The other end, don't you have the little charger on the other end?
I do, and it looks like this.
Yeah, that one you could just use the charger.
No, it doesn't plug in. It's that USB-C.
So you could get a cable that's compatible with it.
Oh, okay. See, yeah. all of ours have the old USB charger on the back of it, and then you can just interchange the chargers.
Well, and I use my old charger on my new iPhone, my 12, and it works fine.
You know, another thing to think about with these adapter cables that we've been using, like I've got this one right here.
Can you make your picture bigger? I can barely see you. You've got everybody.
Everybody's on here.
There you are.
Mine has a very nice blue LED so you can see the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
And it just grabs it when I get close to it.
That's what I had, but it does not work on my new iPad.
What I was going to mention, and we haven't talked too much about it, but these magnetic connectors, these generic ones we get off of Amazon, they are not fast charging.
Right.
They are at max three amps. Yeah, I think it's 3 amps at most. And so it's a much longer charge period than connecting a fast charging cable.
But that's and fine, even, but it works great even the,
Even the puck that you put your new iPhone on, it is a lower wattage charging system than plugging a cable in and using a fast charge charger. Right. And then they're not even giving you a charging block anymore. Did you get a charging block with it?
No.
And so it's up to you to go find a high speed charger
and
or a higher watt charger.
I think I got a cable. No, I got the cable with the charging block. And so I also bought a longer cable. But, you know, that's just another little add-on for Apple that you have to purchase.
Well, not only that, you have to go, if you're not in an Apple store, then you have to do the work of picking the right charging cable.
Exactly.
Because that USB-C standard is so convoluted. You could get any number of USB-C cables that look like they might work, but if they don't tick all the boxes, you're missing out on something.
It's either not data. And that's why I bought mine from Apple.
Yeah, it's just easier to get it from Apple because that's what they're selling is the right cable.
And at the time, I was getting a discount when I bought the iPad. So I bought the block and the cable to get the same discount. So that was a little bit of savings.
So
and, but I'm really happy with it.
Did the discount bring it down to a regular cable price?
I don't know. I don't know how much a regular cable. I think it was $17 for a 6-foot cable or whatever this is, 5-foot cable.
Okay. I normally think of just a standard USB cable as costing somewhere around $8 to $12, depending on how long it is and what name brand it is.
So figure I paid $5 more.
So that sounds like an Apple store.
It does.
That's with a discount. With discount, you paid about $5.
And that was ordering online. In the store, they weren't real anxious to make a sale. They would rather I did it online.
That's interesting.
Well, they don't care. They figure you rich Apple people can afford it.
A question regarding the Thunderbird.
Thunderbolt. Yes.
Is anyone making the accessories that use the Thunderbolt? I know Lacey used to have an external hard drive, but it was not solid state, and mine finally failed.
Yeah, there are Thunderbolt accessories out there, but you know, the most common ones are hard drives like you're describing or docking stations. And now what's happening is Thunderbolt 4 is an open standard. Apple has released it to the masses. And so it is the new USB 4 standard. So in both the PC world and the Macintosh world, we're going to start using the same convention for high-speed data transfer connections. It's going to be USB 4, and it's going to have the shape of a USB-C connector. And so I suspect we're going to see a lot of peripherals hit the market just because the PC industry will be using it as well. It won't be niche anymore. But right now, the Thunderbolts seem to be storage devices and docking stations because of the line of laptops that Apple makes.
The real advantage of them is that you can chain link them.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are some caveats in that, like how many monitors can be chain linked in your data flow, because there is an upper limit of how much data you can push through it, and you can max that out, and your computer will juggle it. But things like audio and video are very difficult to juggle. You feel the problems with trying to do it, and I would imagine in an Apple way of doing things, probably just wouldn't let you do it. Like, you got enough things plugged in, it won't let you plug in one more monitor because it wouldn't want you to have a horrible experience with that monitor.
Just got a 10-minute notice.
I did too. Everybody got the 10-minute notice?
Yeah. So
we'll talk it down to the last minute and then switch over to another meeting.
So what's your mother doing? Washing windows?
I don't know what's going on. Mom, you still there? I've seen you come and go a couple of times.
I didn't think you could see me because when I look at the computer, when I'm not talking, all there is an S. So I was doing a little extra job because you couldn't see me, so I thought.
I can see you using the squeegee.
Yeah, well, I'm paying real close attention to this MacBook Pro that's coming out, but I am putting on some stuff you can get at Home Depot to kind of cloud a window that has a lot of junk behind it. I have a room now that's out of the kitchen that's a junk room, and everybody sees all my junk. So rather than cleaning it up, I'm trying to hide it.
Are you frosting your windows?
Say again?
Are you still in Alaska?
Oh, yeah. We leave on the 4th, though.
Oh, soon. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is that a frosting you're on the window that you're putting?
Well, I thought it was going to be that. It's a little different. I'll, as I work on it, I'll make it show more if you're really interested.
Sure.
Because I'm hearing everything. All right. So I got to take some stuff down.
So, did you notice also that Apple has released a new music plan, a new tier called Voice? They've got a new price plan at $5 a month. It's like $4.99. you get access to the entire Apple Music catalog, so long as you access it using your voice asking Siri. So it's a bit unusual. I saw some articles that were comparing it to Amazon's free tier of music. The difference being that Amazon can do advertising across your music. This is ad-free music. This is full access to their catalog. They have not given a release date for this yet, but I imagine it'll probably be no later than next month. And this is $5 a month, $4.99 a month. And from your iPhone, your iPad, your Macintosh, or your Siri smart speakers, you can ask Siri to provide you with music. And it will, right out of their collection. It also includes tailored playlists, so you could ask for mood music or soundtracks or whatever it is that tickles you, house jazz or chill out music. And they will have these curated lists of music that you can bring up just by your voice. But that is the point of the plan, is it's called a voice plan. I don't know if you guys have noticed that, but there are here it is. Apple debuts a $4.99 a month Apple Music voice plan designed for HomePods and they say AirPods because Siri exists in the AirPods. But what they're really saying is anything that can access Siri can take advantage of this music plan for $4.99 a month. Is anybody doing a music plan right now? I use Amazon's free and I use YouTube Music for free. And YouTube Music is infuriating with their advertisements, but they've got a great collection. On YouTube Music, they put advertising in and they mix their YouTube videos. If you've ever listened to music on YouTube, what it'll be is a video feed with audio. And that video can be just a stagnant picture, or it could be the music video. And their app, one of the things that you pay for when you use YouTube Music is the ability to put it in the background or choose to not have the video as part of the stream. You're paying a monthly fee so you can use it as your background music, as well as you can choose to use less data, like use YouTube Music on your phone. If you're paying monthly, you can choose to have the video feed turned off so it's purely audio, which obviously would be less data from their site, less data across your cell plan. Linda, do you want to add something?
Radio. No, I use Sirius Radio now because you can play it in the house on, you can play it on your phone, you can play it on Amazon.
Yes. Sirius has taken a turn like DirecTV, where it's turned into a streaming service to make it more convenient, keep you in the service.
Yeah.
Is there any different plans with that? Do you have a strictly data plan, or are you still a satellite subscriber when you use it?
You're just still the satellite subscriber, and I only do it when I get the 6 months for the $50. So it costs me $100 a year.
Oh, that sounds reasonable if you're into that kind of stuff. And you've got all those talk radio programs as well. And
yep.
Doesn't Sirius also rebroadcast certain TV channels? So you can listen to that.
Oh, I don't know. I only use 70s on 7, and I put on CNN on it. Like if I'm in the car.
Oh, there you go.
And I want to hear CNN. And you know, it's got 70s, 80s, 90s. It's got jazz. It's got, you know, it's got every station you could possibly want. It's worth it. And then I can play it in the house, too.
Hey, I don't use Sirius Radio. Is there a way for you to interact with it, like ask for a special playlist? Or is it really that radio paradigm still where you're flipping through channels?
It's still the radio thing.
Yeah. And so that's a big difference between the way people are listening to music and content, this voice-activated, playlist-curated kind of model. Siri doesn't have anything, or Sirius Radio doesn't have anything like that yet.
No, but that's okay with me because I only listen to 3 or 4 channels.
My problem with them is the price.
What's that?
If you could get it for $100 a year, that's a bargain.
Well, you have to call. You have to call just like you do, like DirecTV and those guys, and go to their retainment place and then tell them, look, I paid $60 for 6 months and that's all I'm going to pay. And because they don't want to lose you, to give it to you again and again.
One thing to remember, though, is that if you are working on a bargain deal, is that you have to call a month before it expires, or you will be charged the higher standard price.
Correct.
You have to cancel a month ahead of time, and so correct. I have a ticker set up on that.
So, Chester, you're saying Sirius does business practices like a cable company?
Yes.
Correct.
That's a good thing to keep in mind. So you, I found the pricing plans for the Apple Music, if you guys are interested. It's the voice plan that I was referring to, this new one, is $4.99 a month. It's for one person. It's Siri on all Apple devices, songs, playlists, stations, everything. There's an individual music plan that we've talked about in the past. It's $9.99 a month, $10 a month. So that's $120 a month or a year. That's one person, Siri on all devices, songs, playlist stations, spatial and lossless audio, and Apple Plus supported devices. So that must mean that you can have access to it on your TV. Before we go on to Chester's YouTube question, we had been talking about the Apple event. I talked to you about the new voice plans. I talked to you about the new chips and the new MacBook Pro. And we didn't mention the Siri speakers. But you know what's interesting is I was having a conversation with somebody yesterday about their Amazon speakers. And we were talking about this feature in the Apple speakers that they're pushing really hard now, where you can bring two, three of these speakers into the same room and they'll be aware of each other and change the shape of the sound. Essentially, you have one speaker, you think of it as being in mono. You bring another speaker in the room, you think of it as being in stereo. You bring a third speaker in, this is spatial audio, and it will convert these speakers to work in this format. They will be aware of each other and shape the sound that you're listening to, hopefully appropriately, to take full advantage of those technologies. So I think that's a pretty cool thing to have added to the Siri speakers. I don't use the Siri speakers, but one of the things they did in one of their last announcements before, they set these speakers at $100 each. And they've given them a whole rainbow of flavored colors so that they're stylish. So they're an approachable price and they're stylish and they've got great sound. So this was also at the Apple event, their latest version of Siri speakers. And then they've also announced the third generation of AirPods. If you're into that sort of thing, they've got a lot of technology going into the way sound is shaped right above your eardrum. And though you're probably not interested in any of those extraneous things that come along with the event, something that was not in the event, they are selling a polishing cloth. If you're one of those people that get dirty fingerprints on your iPad, your phone, or even the screen of your Macintosh, they now have an Apple-branded polishing cloth that you can buy from the store or online. Microfiber only comes in white at the moment. It's available for $20. Before you think that you need that cloth, keep in mind that you can get a microfiber cloth from just about any outlet, from Walmart to AutoZone, where I bought my last pack of, I think, half a dozen microfiber cloths for $5 on sale at AutoZone. So it's cute and funny, and that's the reason that I bring it up. But I'm sure not recommending that's the way you spend your money. Probably has an apple on it, though. If you want a cloth with an apple on it, you can get it from Apple now. So, actually, I don't think they've announced the date of the release of the polishing cloth, but I do have a link here to the article talking about it. Judy, before we go on, let's hit Chester's YouTube question.
Yes, but I was just going to tell you, I need the premium high-speed HDMI cable.
Okay, yeah. I'll look through my stuff. Premium high-speed HDMI, it's got to be just the standard HDMI cable.
It says, to stream 4K or HDR, choose an HDMI port that supports, I know that.
There is a premium. There's a premium HDMI.
HDMI cable.
Well, I would imagine if it mattered, like if it's the latest standard of HDMI, then I probably don't have
it's
one.
It's not. This is like 3 years old or so it's not new.
But if you don't want to wait for me, I am sure you could get one from the kiosk there in Lays.
How long do I have to wait for you as opposed to driving into Lays?
Well, and I'm talking about the Lays here in San Carlos. You could pick one up.
What kiosk?
They have that little kiosk of electronic stuff.
Hmm.
They have mice. They have antennas.
So I probably have an HDMI cable.
You probably do. There might be one dangling from the back of your TV set.
It's probably dangling from my TV set in Colorado.
Okay. Well, they're very common cables now.
Okay.
I think the advantage of the Premier HDMI cable is that it will carry 4K.
I'm thinking the same thing, and I'm not thinking that I would have a cable that is new enough for that, but I'll take a look and see if I've got something.
Okay. I was trying to see what year this... I mean, it's just really a plain Jane little...
Well, you know what, Judy? It wouldn't matter. It would matter if you had a 4K TV.
I might have one, but I don't have... I don't know. I doubt it. I doubt it. I have a smart TV, but I don't have any of the premium
stuff. For you to
stuff.
Have a 4K TV without knowing it, you would have bought it recently.
How recently? Like, 5 years?
Like within the last year.
No, I do not.
Yeah, within the last year, 4K has just become the standard now with TVs.
No.
And okay, so that would be my rule of thumb is if you haven't bought it within the last year, then you couldn't have inadvertently bought a 4K TV. You would have been aware of it.
No. Yeah. So
and now the features you're looking for, like ultra high definition and 4K.
No. Yeah. I don't care to see everybody's pores and all that stuff. It's not important to me.
Well, and the truth is, with our internet access, many times we can't take advantage of all that resolution.
Well, that
with
was what I was going to tell you, too. I am on Juan's. This was way back then. My download speed is 26 and my upload is 7.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting from Juan as well. I actually get a lot more than 20 at times. At times, I can actually get up to 90 on his.
That's what I was getting, so I've got to call him and tell him WhatsApp him and tell him it's low.
Yeah, I mean, the truth is that most of us function just fine. Even for when I complain about problems doing this on the internet, I really only need at most 30 megabits a second. I mean, that's covering everything. That's covering kids using it for their school.
Right.
It's the up that really affects me, and my what I need to do probably has a ceiling about 10 megabits a second. If I could get a stable 10 megabits a second out, that would cover everything we're doing right here. I mean, that's with plenty of room. And with Juan, when I first set up with him, we had like 20 up, and he made changes, I think, to his contracts. And it seems like, Judy, you, I, and his other customers are sharing 10 up right now. And that sharing is where we get in trouble with this club. If there's anyone else sending out in great proportion, then it cuts into the amount that I have available to send out. I think I need 10 for myself, and I'm sharing it with all his customers.
And see, that was the whole thing. We had, it was so good there for a while, and now it's not. So he needs to up his game a bit, especially if we're going to get fiber optic in the near future. Well, like in 6 months.
Yeah, if I was Juan, I would be working with somebody like you or another customer to contract fiber optics and put an antenna in Loma del Mar so all his other customers don't have to do a new installation. They just have better internet through him.
See, otherwise, they're running it down the streets now here.
So. Yeah, otherwise he's gonna lose his customers to those fiber links.
So I don't know whether it would beam out from here to anywhere around or not, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm proposing is he works with somebody like you or another customer. Customer sets up a tower right there in Loma del Mar so so that all those customers that he's depended on can continue to get really good internet from him, and they're not enticed to sign up for fiber optics.
However, fiber optics is free.
Well, the installation is free, but you still have to pay for your internet connection.
Well, I pay for that anyway.
Because you're maintaining two different connections right now.
Yes.
But I would imagine there's a lot of Juan's customers that aren't. He lets people go on vacation. Yeah, I mean, I suspect there's a lot of his customers have the antenna set up, and the moment they get into town, they give him 300 pesos and they've got internet.
Well, he didn't let us do that this year. We had to keep paying. We weren't able to put it on vacation.
Oh, I didn't realize he'd started doing that.
Yes, he has.
Well, he's going to have to stop that because Telmex lets you put it on vacation.
They do. Really? That's good.
Yeah, they do. They let you put it on vacation. I mean, unless something changes as far as fiber optics goes.
Uh-huh.
But what I've seen in San Carlos when it comes to a fiber optic line is that the only reason you're not able to buy it is because somebody else has it. So if that becomes the case in Loma del Mar, then yes, you'll have to hang on to your connection simply because if you try and put it on vacation, they won't let you because they already have a customer to buy it. The reason they let you put your lines on vacation is because they don't have a customer to buy it.
Right. And I just found for the price, it's easier not to put it on vacation because when you come back, you probably don't have a phone. You may have your phone number, but you won't have a line. So I just don't put mine on vacation.
I think as long as you're not competing with your neighbor for that connection on fiber, then putting it on vacation will be very realistic this time around because of the technology. What would happen with your phone line in the past was it was those crappy copper wires running through the conduit in the ground that would fill up with water, and they would be subject to wind when they're in the inappropriate places where wind would blow cables around. And so even though you maintained your contract all year, you'd come back and you'd still have to report the problems with your line because you weren't here when it was having problems. If you were here when it was having problems, you'd be like, oh, great, my internet's out. You call Telmex, they come, they deal with your internet. Since you've been away on vacation, you come back, you've paid for it this whole time, but you weren't here to intercept those problems. So now you have to deal with all those problems.
I actually got an email from Telmex telling them that they would be doing outside maintenance and there was nothing I needed to do, but they wanted to know that my service might be interrupted here at the house. So but I came back and my phone is working and everything. So it's good.
No, that's awesome. And I think with fiber optic technology, that maintenance, the maintenance of tightening things up and cleaning connection, I think that will go away. The maintenance that would be now would be some backhoe ran over their fiber optic connection and somebody has to reconnect that. I think what you're going to find is that the maintenance is going to be when something silly happens and all of Loma del Mar is down for a period of time.
Right.
But the installation they should be doing and the type of technology, I don't think you'll suffer from rain or wind any longer. I mean, on that level, on that smaller scale. If we have flooding or hurricanes, it's still susceptible of being a problem.
Well, definitely. And they are putting the fiber optic in the street. They've got little pits built every so often, kind of like maybe...
Trenches. They've got trenches.
Well, no, they've got little pits. Pit is the word. They're little square pits about, 18 inches deep with cable running in and out of them.
Okay. So that's where they're splicing together.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
very cool.
Yeah.
Now that you're back, I might come visit you with an HDMI cable and inspect the installation because I'm really curious about it.
Yeah, come and look. I'm going later on for tacos, but then I'll be home.
Chester, what was your YouTube question? Did we ever get to it?
No, my question is that, and sometimes when you get to be my age, you forget more than you can remember. But I'm getting to where I'm entertained by YouTube a lot, and there are times when I want to copy the video. And so you have an opportunity to copy the URL, or you can copy it in current time. And the problem I have is that when I do that copying, either one, I can't find it on my computer. So I could put it into a YouTube editing program and take out what I want from the video.
What are you using to capture the video?
I'm doing it online.
But what service are you using?
Well, I must be using YouTube.
Well, see, YouTube will allow you to download your videos from your YouTube account. But it doesn't really have a system for allowing you to download somebody else's videos. Not one I'm aware of. Maybe you can direct me to how you're doing it. But I'm only familiar with third-party programs that allow you to download the videos. A plugin in your web browser.
I have a third-party program that will change the format and to a movie format that I can then edit with video editing programs. But just getting the link, saving the link is the problem.
You give the link to a service to download the video, is that correct?
Yes, I can. I can copy the link, then I can't find it after I copy it.
Well, where are you supposed to put the link? When you've got the link?
Well, there's a couple of different programs I have that you can put the link into the program and it will go pick it up and convert it to a different format.
Okay,
then
I'm just thinking
that format, put it into a video editing program.
Whatever that program is needs to be configured for where to put the output. So whatever program you're using to capture the video from YouTube is what you need to have configured for where the end result is going to be put. And I was just looking, there's a program I'm using that I use to capture YouTube videos from time to time, and I'm trying to remember what it's called. So I'm in my computer right now.
Well, I just go through others. I go through Google and put in YouTube and it brings up all of the...
Sure. And that's how you get your link?
Yeah, that's where the link is. But then
when I get my link, I stick it in. Here it is. WinX YouTube Downloader is the one I'm using. And so I take my link and I paste it into that program. Yeah, WinX YouTube Downloader is the software I use. It's a third-party program specifically for downloading a video file from YouTube, from a video that I want.
Okay.
And I have
those programs. The question I have is, how do I copy the link? And you right click when you're on the YouTube video, you right click and it'll give you the opportunity to copy the link, or they also give you the option to copy it in real time, whatever that means.
Well,
but then once you hit that, it copies it. But where does it go? I can't find it.
Well, it should be copying it to the clipboard. So you should just have it in memory and be able to paste it somewhere. Does that make sense?
Maybe it's a clipboard somewhere. Yeah.
You don't ever look at the clipboard anymore. If you hold down Control V, that's going to paste whatever's on the clipboard. If you hold down, is it Windows Key V or is it Shift Control V? I think it's Windows Key V. You can see a list of things that have been put on the clipboard. Windows Key V, if you use Windows Key V, you'll see a list of things that have been on the clipboard.
Okay, so I have the Windows key on my
keyboard, yeah.
Typing board here, keyboard.
So you hold that key down.
The Windows key, and
hold it and press the letter V for Victor.
Press V.
And what that'll do is it'll provide you the clipboard and a list of things that you have saved there.
Good, thank you. That should take care of it.
What's pretty? What do you see?
Your mom's new project.
Oh, I can't see it.
Yes, you can.
No, I don't get any video from her.
I wonder
if I'm having internet problems. I can't see it at all for some reason.
Can you see me waving? No.
I can see you. I can see you, but I can't see my mom.
I see the S.
Yeah, that's all I see is the S.
Turn on.
I see her.
There she is. Now I can see her.
Oh, now
she's gone.
All right. There. Half of the project's done.
That's awesome.
You can see? Kind of.
Yeah.
But I can still see my junk behind it. Oh, darn.
You need curtains.
You'll have to put another sheet on the other side.
No. Yeah, probably. I should probably just paint the window and be done with it.
get those curtains that run between the top and bottom with the curtain bars.
I know. I thought about that too. I've got them.
I've been thinking about letting my daughter paint our glass door because we need some kind of shade there and it's just falling apart. I figured I'd get her to just stained glass color it.
Nice. Anyway, bye guys. Nice.
Oh, yes. I guess we're out of here, huh?
Well, no. Well, it's only 11:15. I'm not on this time zone yet, so.
Judy, we'll talk to you next week. Bye. I'll probably talk to you sometime tomorrow.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye-bye.
Cheryl, are you in San Carlos?
No, we're in Vegas. We're on Fremont Street, Las Vegas.
Oh, okay.
Having a blast, drinking mimosas.
Oh, we just straight champagne.
Yeah, it was just straight champagne.
Don't screw it up with vitamin C.
No. Yeah, we just came back up to the room, so.
Well, guys, we're down to the four of us. Is there any last questions or news to share? We have definitely gone through my list.
I have no new shows to give you. Been too busy.
No new shows? You want to do recommendations? Cheryl, you got any shows for us?
Well, I'm watching, it's a CBC one, a Canadian broadcasting. It's called Moonshine. It's a series.
Moonshine.
Yeah. It's a family that have this resort, and it's pretty backwoods lake resort. So it's kind of interesting. Yeah.
Is it a comedy or a drama? Or
it's a situation comedy, I would call it. Yeah, yeah.
Is it an hour program or a half hour program?
It's an hour.
An hour?
It's called Moonshine, but it's Moonshine, a TV series.
Okay. I think I CBC. Saw something for it. I didn't realize. Is
and
it a Canadian?
Yeah, Canadian broadcasting.
Okay.
So it's on our TV at home, but I just found it on Stremio too, except I'm on my Apple and they won't let me watch it. But anyways, I'll be able to watch it. And then another one. Oh, shoot. Oh, we've been watching that Murders in the Building.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we really like that.
It's cute. I agree. Did anyone try Vigil?
Bill, you looked it up, didn't you? Vigil? Vigil?
He did.
He looked it up, but we've been on the road for the whole week. So.
I just wanted somebody to watch that first episode and tell me that wasn't good TV.
I did it. I thought it was awesome. In fact, I watched the first episode by myself, and then I put it on the back burner because I knew I was going to end up watching it again, introducing Yuya to it. And we're in the middle of other seasons right now, other series, so I need to get a chance to get to it. But it was awesome, the first episode. I like the atmosphere. I like the idea of doing an investigation on a submarine. I like the gender roles, the fact that she's a woman investigator. That's trying to represent herself on a sub full of guys. I just thought it all seemed really good.
140 men with 8 women.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's kind of like being on ADAC.
Well, let's see. Well, Mom, you got
Tuesday
anything else to recommend?
I have nothing right at the moment. We've been working so hard getting the rentals ready to go. It's been hard to stop and watch anything. That's probably good this week anyway for me.
Out
of the chair.
I want to recommend we had watched, somebody had recommended this before, Good on Paper. It was very funny. That was your recommendation, Cheryl. We really enjoyed it. We were laughing out loud. Thought it was great.
Is that a movie or a series?
It's a movie.
It's a movie.
Okay.
Looks good on paper kind of attitude, but
yeah.
It was a cute one.
Oh, good. All right.
And then there is a movie from 2009 that we just recently watched called Days of Summer. And it's got Joseph Gordon-Levitt in it, Zoe Deschanel. It's too bad Paul's not with us. I know he's a fan. But we weren't even aware of this movie. And it is a very funny, it's a comedy, drama, romance. It's an easy one to sit down with your significant other and watch because it's very enjoyable. It's got stuff for both of you. And it's all about how this guy is kind of, he's broken up with this woman and he's reliving all these different days that he has spent with her. And what they do, it's like 500 days. Her name is Summer. So it's 500 days of summer. And so they present it to you not in any particular order. They label the day, but then they contrast it like 300 days in the future. or 20 days in the past or 100 days in the past. Huh. And so you're bouncing back and forth through this guy's experience. He's reliving it, coming to terms with having broken up with her.
Yeah.
That's a very easy recommendation. We had a lot of fun in that movie.
Well, that sounds worth looking at.
How many days of summer? What was it called?
500 Days of Summer.
Okay.
But and the play is that Summer is the name of the mm-hmm. girl.
Yeah.
And then I got one more movie to recommend that we were just on the edge of our seats with, The Guilty. I don't know if you guys have noticed this. This is a Jake Gyllenhaal film. I believe it's based on a German movie from a couple of years ago. This was just released last month. And the entire movie takes place in the call center, a 911 call center. And the story is told through phone call conversations with somebody that has been kidnapped.
Whoa.
Yeah, I saw the short for that, or the preview or whatever. Yeah.
I didn't think the preview did it justice. We actually decided to watch it regardless of the preview.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think the preview really, I thought it might be something that you and I might be interested in, but the preview is not what sold me on it. We just decided to check it out, and I'm glad we did, because there's so much, they've done so much with so little, and I find that very impressive. I do not like the films where it's a guy in a box, or a guy in a telephone booth, or a guy on the ledge, and the whole movie is there. These things don't really appeal to me. And that's the reason that when we watched it, I found it to be so powerful for me, is I went into it thinking that I was not going to like this movie.
What's it called again?
The Guilty.
Oh, you see, I just looked up Guilty, and I can't find it. But
The Guilty as a movie. It seems like there's a lot of guilty things out there.
Yeah, world works in my world.
Well, and that's the end of my list.
Okay, wish I had more to contribute. I have nothing.
Well, and we have gotten down to the end. It's just the three of us now.
Bill is listening on mine.
Okay, well, then it's the four of us. But why don't we draw this meeting to an end? If there's any last minute things to say, say them now or forever hold your peace.
Well, just a little update on conditions in Las Vegas. Every casino, every building that we've been into, masks are mandatory. If you're sitting down at a table or you're sitting at your machine and you have a drink, you can put your mask down, have a sip, put it back up. Doesn't matter you're vaccinated or not.
Okay. Well, that's a good update to have. Do you know if your area is in, what color they're in, if they're orange, yellow, green, red?
I haven't checked.
For Las Vegas.
Do we know what Las Vegas is for the...
Oh, for the COVID?
COVID.
Light? I don't know.
Yeah, Bill's going to check it out.
Yeah, be interesting to know. Alaska's in the red still. Is that right, Mom?
As far as I know.
We've got the highest rates of infection in the country.
If we were our own country, we would have the highest rate in the world. At least last week, that was true.
Wow.
So
where do in
we
contrast,
go to Beckett, guys? Like, we know what is the website?
I'm sorry?
What is the website where you go to get those colors?
Google.com.
what's it called?
Is it called?
In Mexico, it's called Sepamor.
It would be, gosh, what would you call it in English? I can't remember the right terminology for it.
Yeah.
Point of contrast, almost all of Sonora is green now. So come to Mexico where you can get sick in hospital treatment. just a quick funny story. On Sunday, my wife and some of her family had gone down by Charlie's Rock. They were just hanging out. They got a pizza from the Italian place across the way, and they were they're hanging out on the Malecón, the only part of the Malecón we actually have that meets up with the water. And the police came along and harassed them, told them to move along.
Were they masked?
Yeah, the police are masked. The family had masks. Of course, they would pull them down while they're eating. We're in green. I need to sit down and sort out what green means, because apparently what it means is we still have a curfew for some reason, and they were kicking people off the streets even though we're in green. So I'm not sure what that's all about.
You don't have a lot of visitors right now, do you?
Oh, we have lots of visitors.
Well, maybe it has more to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. It just seems weird. It seems like the way we've been using this traffic light signal is supposed to give us an idea of how we can behave. Green seems to mean you can get sick, that you can get treatment at a hospital if something happens. You can get into a car accident. Whereas red means you probably don't want to leave the house, because if you get into an accident, they're going to triage your care.
Natasha up here, Scott, she's a friend of the family's. She and John got sick, not COVID, though they did go testing. They were as sick as if they had COVID. Her oxygen went down, and so they were quickly trying to find a hospital or a medical center to take her to, because her oxygen was going low. Even though she wasn't COVID, they couldn't. They had to take care of her home. They got advice on what to do. She's fine now, but we think it was just the flu. This flu is dropping people here. So if you haven't got your flu shots, start thinking about that.
This is sure the thing that people aren't thinking about is like, yeah, life seems great. Running around, going to restaurants and going to movie theaters and hanging out at the beach. But if you get into a motorcycle accident, you get hit by a car, mm-hmm. you end up having the flu, there is no one to treat you in Anchorage right now, in Alaska right now.
They're all busy.
Because of COVID.
Even the specialists have had to go in and work with COVID patients.
Yeah, and normal people just aren't getting that. It's like everything seems fine.
Yeah, well, you'd think having your oxygen level goes down, you're not normal, but nobody could help her.
So, Sandy, what did they tell her to do at home?
It's just, I guess, normal. Now I can't remember what all they said. I think they had gives out water in the air. What's it called? Humidifier.
Oh, a humidifier.
Yeah, they had her doing humidifier and just trying to stay comfortable. And it wasn't pneumonia. I think they must have checked to see that it wasn't pneumonia, because they didn't send anything with her. They didn't send oxygen home with her or anything like that. They must have determined she would either live or die, but can't come into the hospital.
Hey, can I share a trivial piece of information that has nothing to do with this, but it just stimulated my memory?
Okay.
I was listening or watching some true crime thing, and they said something that I didn't realize. Maybe if I had been asked to think about it, I might have come up with it, but I'd never even considered it. One of the things that they do in an autopsy is they take lung material and they drop it in water to see if it floats. And if it doesn't float, it's an indicator that it was overwhelmed with fluids.
Ah.
It's an indicator of pneumonia or the COVID, whatever it is. But the material of your lungs in a healthy state should float in water. And I wasn't aware of that until this thing I was listening to. I thought that was cool. Absolutely unrelated and a perfect thing for us to end this meeting on. Thank you for being with us this Tuesday morning. And I will look forward to seeing all of you, if not sooner, next Tuesday at 10 o'clock Arizona Sonoran time. Until then, you guys tech on, and we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you, Cheryl. Have fun.